Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. First thoughts for the episode Tallahassee. This is November 4th, 2012, and we are now on the different time zone. What is it?
Daylight savings time ended. That's the one. So it just ended. So yeah. We're now on standard time.
Back
on standard time.
So, yes, and we are back. It was a fantastic episode. And
Yeah, it was so amazing.
So many great surprises, and I had some just great surprise, big smile moments.
Oh yeah,
and so thanks so much for joining us for our first thoughts. We know that there are other ones, and we're glad you listened to us.
Yes,
for our first thoughts. So Colleen is knitting.
I am knitting,
and Lady is over there, kind of sleeping.
She's just watching us right now.
All right.
But she'll fall asleep.
So let's jump into this. The first thing I think that came to me that was kind of strange was Mulan said, "This reminds me of death," when she looked at the beanstalk.
Yes.
And I don't know if she meant that cutting it down, death, or I don't know what.
Yeah. I can't think of what that would remind her of death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't think in terms of, you know, there were no beanstalks in her story as far as I'm aware. So I don't know. I'm not sure why she said that.
And I can't tell why. You know, the whole episode I kept thinking one of them was Korra. And I kept waiting. Was it Hook? Was it Snow? Was it Mulan? I kept kind of waiting for that, and I didn't get that.
Well, and that I was kind of glad, though, because, I mean, look, they've already used that trick once, and for them to use it again is like, well, wait a second, then everybody's going to be Korra.
I know, but I was just waiting.
I know.
So
no, she's disappeared.
They played the card, and I was waiting.
Yeah.
All right. So then we heard from Hook that there are no more beans.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jack, the giant killer,
yes,
of the Jack and the Beanstalk story,
yes,
killed all the giants but one.
Yes.
And he was up the beanstalk.
He was at the top of the beanstalk. Seems. Yes.
So the giants used the beans to plunder the lands.
Mm-hmm.
And so initially I thought that Bay was Jack, because of the cryptic tweet that maybe the bean created a beanstalk going down the opposite way from fairy tale land. And so maybe he fell onto this beanstalk and maybe he was Jack, but I was incorrect.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that that's the case. But
so
anyway.
So there are so many barrier spells and intruder spells and spells aplenty, spells everywhere. There are so many spells. Spells exactly. On wristbands, spells everywhere. I mean,
yep.
Honestly, it,
yeah.
Spells in water and curses, and it is
right.
It is a wild place.
It's a magical place.
It is a wild place. I don't know that I'd want to eat or drink anything or wear anything. Honestly, I mean, there's just enchanted things. So,
well, sure.
Yeah.
That would seem very strange to us, but not to those folk.
And
Snow wasn't fazed by it.
Right. So Hook said that the wristband was a counter spell.
Yes.
And at first I thought that, you know, I don't know, that somebody was going to get hoodwinked or something. But anyway, I was not correct on
no.
that.
No, yeah.
It's just funny. Now that I watch, I'm just on edge. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Something bad's going to happen. Someone's going to, So I'm on edge. Anyway.
No need to be on edge.
So we see Emma in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
More than likely, they didn't film in Portland, Oregon.
No, I'm pretty sure I recognize
but that's
some of the
where
spots from downtown
the story,
Vancouver.
The story here begins.
Right.
And we see the mystery man in the stolen car.
Yes. And at first, I didn't recognize that that was who that was.
Right. Well, I think for a long time people have known about it because the name Neil Cassidy and the casting of Neil Cassidy has been kind of bantied about.
Okay.
So folks have known it's coming down the pike. So
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And he is a thief. And at the same time, so is Emma. And what was interesting is it kind of looked like she had a Catholic schoolgirl outfit on, but it really wasn't. But it kind of appeared as
plaid. So you figure, you know, 11 yeah. years ago. Let's see, what was 11 years ago?
Still had more hair.
2001. I was thinking, you know, oh, that would be, you know, but there was no, I can't think of any fashion thing back, you know, that far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
So,
carry on.
So, yeah, he is a thief, and what was interesting is the minute they started talking, he invited her to drinks, which reminded me directly of August.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Yes.
So, and then the term getting home, and that's another Aussiean thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting home, no
Going
place
home.
Like home, home, home,
right.
home. So then I know it was Emma talking to Snow about getting home. And Mulan had this poppy powder, which I believe is a direct connotation to Oz,
because
of the poppy plants that put them to
the
sleep.
The poppy fields that put them in, put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So this poppy powder would could be used to put this giant to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I started wondering, did Mulan go to Oz?
Yeah, that's
or have
a possibility.
Any dealing with
that's,
Oz.
That's a very real possibility. I would not definitely not rule that out. But being that she's from China, and China, there are poppies in China, and opium is made from poppies, then it kind of, you know. And anyway, I'm just saying, I know that that's kind of a thing there.
But then, according to Smee, there are people with ships that bring interesting trinkets from around in weird lands.
Right.
And so, you know.
So
or maybe the Wizard of Oz somehow traveled around in his balloon or something.
Sure.
And brought some interesting little trinkets.
Yes, yes. So, yeah.
So.
No, I'm just throwing it out there that, you know, I mean, she possibly could have gone to Oz. Or because, again, Mulan is from China.
Yep.
If they are going that route, then, you know, Chinese are very, very good with herbs and know how to make potions and things out of herbs and such. So it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, she could have gotten it from, you know, some Chinese herbalist or probably Oz. I'm leaning towards Oz.
Or an apothecary, if
Correct.
You will.
So apothecary,
and then they talk. I'm trying to be smarter and use these smart terms.
That is correct too. You used it correctly too.
Okay, good.
This wasn't a when in Rome situation, so
right. All right. So, and then they also mentioned cutting down the beanstalk, which is of course in the story,
right?
And you know, I wrote down Hook is Korra because that would be the perfect ruse for mm-hmm. her to, you know, be Cora with these wristbands and all this stuff, and then I'm going with you and all this, and then all of a sudden, you know, so. But we'll get to what happened with that. Because on the way up, you know, Hook had this conversation with her. Well, you're an open book, blah, blah, blah. You know, Henry's book and all that. Storybooks and mm-hmm. all that. But, you know, I was trying to think that, you know, Hook maybe could be Cora because he was trying to kind of get more information out of her and then kind of surprise and then push her off or something. I don't know. But...
Wow, you went really dark with that, didn't you?
Well, no, I just... Anyway, that's what I was thinking.
I knew that wasn't going to happen only because of the promos.
Right.
But anyway.
Okay, so then the... one of the coolest scenes ever that I did kind of see down the road, and you didn't, and it was fun watching it with you, when Emma and Neil went in to take this little store... steal some stuff. Mm-hmm. And at first, you know, I looked and I said, Emma's pregnant. That's weird. And I go, wait a minute. Because when Neil was at the front, you know, arguing with the guy about where stuff is, and he goes, well, I want you to buy the map first. And he goes, well, okay, here. And I go, wait a minute. She's not pregnant. This is a root because she's stealing stuff. And then once the guy runs in and says, hey, you know, you're being robbed. And then she fakes like she's having the baby. And I'm going, that is brilliant. You know, and you know, we talked about cons before.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. You know, the long con is one of the names of one of the Lost episodes and all that. But, you know,
the man from Tallahassee, and that was all about.
True.
So it ties right. in. It was a very Lost reference. The whole con thing, the con artist. And
yes.
Yeah, that definitely was a Lost reference, by the way.
But,
it was really cool.
But yeah, it was really neat because when she walked out, when Emma walked out to the car and took the bag out from what made it look like she was pregnant, I heard Colleen go, oh, wow, that's not, I go, yes. So. Anyway,
well, because I wasn't sure, because I was like, okay, well, we know that she has the baby, you know, she has Henry in Phoenix in jail, and I'm thinking, okay, so they're not there yet. How do they get to Phoenix? And are they there? And maybe she, you know, lied about that. I don't know. It was all crazy. So I just didn't know at first.
So then they went into this hotel room that was, I think, in between getting cleaned.
Yeah, well, the family looked to me like the family had just left the room, like they were checking out.
And so he flipped the do not disturb on.
So that it wouldn't get cleaned.
So they could take a shower or whatever. And, you know, it's just, I've watched movies like Paper Moon and other con artist movies. And it was really interesting thinking about people that live like that. There's got, you know, when they wrote this, you know, mm-hmm. obviously... You know, I don't think they, you know. So who has lived like this? I don't know. Then maybe somebody did, but it was just, you know, there probably are stories. They probably had a cop or two come in and say, okay, tell us about con people and how they did that. And they probably heard stories like this.
They're very good about researching. So I'm pretty sure they researched stories and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Sure. But then I saw the Dreamcatcher and I go, okay, that was in Neil Cassady's room. Or apartment
in New York.
In Broken.
Or in wherever he was, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was right, I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I think it was right next to the window.
Uh-huh.
So obviously, you know, it was a memory, and they, you know, so it was important to him. So,
yep.
And he referred to them as Bonnie and Clyde, which, you know, they didn't really rob banks, but they were thieves together.
Right.
And so it was kind of this... You know, the whole Bonnie and Clyde thing, if I remember right, they were actually during the Depression,
mm-hmm.
and they were heroes, Bonnie and Clyde, because they were actually getting ahead in tough times. And because they were eluding the cops, they became, you know, heroes.
In some cases, some of these, you know, gangsters from the 30s were, but I don't know if they were or not. I could be wrong.
So in a way, it was kind of like a... kind of weird, twisted Robin Hood-ish
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then they pick Tallahassee with the old, you know, put your finger in the air and wherever it lands, that's where we're going to go. And Tallahassee was chosen. You know, I've always wondered if is that how Storybrooke, the place, was chosen. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How did Regina pick Storybrooke?
So then we learn that nightmares are side effects of the sleeping curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a connection that Snow and Aurora have.
Yes.
And then as it progresses, we learn somebody else does. But we'll talk about
all
that
right.
in a bit. And, you know, in awe moment for Mr. Charming, he really cared about Snow, obviously, but then he lit little candles and said that, you know, these are going to keep the nightmares away. So he kind of worked her out of that side effect.
Well, did he, though?
Well, sure.
When she said, oh, they get better, I promise, I didn't believe her.
Okay.
I really didn't believe her. I wanted her to, maybe she was telling the truth. Maybe she really doesn't have the nightmares anymore. But I kind of felt like she was telling Aurora that so that Aurora would go back to sleep. Do you see what I'm saying? To comfort her, to try to get her to psychologically, stop having them. But I don't know that it's actually, it just was not very convincing to me.
It was interesting. She goes, well, I'll keep watch after she told the story about Charming to kind of calm her and like, it's going to be okay. I don't have any candles, but you know, I mean, it's going to get better. I kept thinking that once she was back asleep, Aurora, that Snow was going to go up.
Yeah, I kind of wondered if that was going to happen to you.
Because Mulan, I guess, was either asleep or resting or not on her watch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, Snow's going up. And but that was not the case.
I was kind of surprised. I would have thought she would have gone after Emma. But
and I kept kind of waiting for that moment toward the end of Snow kind of popping out. She's vicious with that bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah, she is.
So Hook mentioned that this is the place where the final battle happened.
With the giants,
I would imagine that it was Jack and the giant, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, we have this kind of crisscross because the place where Jack lived looked a lot Mulanish to me. It looked Asian. There were Asian warriors on both sides.
You mean where the giant lived?
Giant lived, yeah.
Not Jack. Jack.
Well, Jack was there momentarily,
Jack
but
then
there. He was not.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it looked Oriental. Asian,
yeah, it had a very Chinese warrior feel to it. Mm-hmm.
So, in one of the stories is that the bean was planted and it took the house up. And so if we go that way with the story, it could have lifted up this place.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
It's possible.
All right. And then we had Hook and his rum and something about it wouldn't want to waste it or it's wasted.
Perfectly
or something.
Good waste of it too.
Right, right. So it's kind of definitely an allusion to the Pirates of the Caribbean with the rum and all that.
Yeah, yeah, because Johnny kept saying, or Jack Sparrow kept saying, why is all the rum gone?
Yeah. So the treasure area reminded me of the Mummy. It reminded me of Harry Potter. It reminded me of
Aladdin.
There's all these different kind of treasure caves, even that cartoon with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. So, but yeah, it was just kind of a throwback to that. And it was interesting. We even had a Pink Floyd song title, Run Like Hell. So that was very, very interesting. I listened to a lot of music when I was growing up. So Neil in Phoenix stole some watches and put them in a...
The train station.
Locker.
Right, in Portland.
And so that has been done in many TV shows, in many movies. And So I kind of heard the car starting way around the corner, and I go, she is going to get that for him because she loves him. And that's exactly how. And then I wrote down con to get the watches, dash love. So,
which interestingly enough, it wasn't.
I know.
That's what was really interesting. There were so many things where you expected things to be the way they were, you know, the way, you know, this way or that way because of, well, so-and-so said right. this, therefore it must be blah, blah, blah. And they did a lot of little twists tonight. And
I love the twist.
Oh my gosh,
I love being surprised. Mm-hmm. This was really, really a fun, great episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember 5 minutes in, I went, oh, my gosh, this is so much
mm-hmm.
fun.
Yep.
And then he mentioned going to Canada, which I thought was
yeah,
kind
which
of,
is, yeah, that's very funny.
I chuckled a bit at that.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I think the one thing that I really, it made me happy with the first section of this episode is it was great to see Emma happy.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it kind of mirrored Regina being happy and these characters
young.
That we've seen in a more happy time.
Well, because it would have seemed to me, if I'm not mistaken, Emma was about 17 at the time, right? She was 17, and which was roughly around the same age as what Regina was when she was with Daniel.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, young love, and I thought it was really cute and fun to see her happy and yeah, very, very in love. It was very cute.
And so the two stories were actually kind of very similar. We had Emma and Neil, and we had Emma and Hook. And so that same type of, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah, and Hook flashed a freaking hot smile tonight at one point, and I was like, whoa, how do you not fall for that, Emma? How do you not fall for that? Those eyes, that smile, that just, yeah.
Easy with that smile, Colin. Easy with that
smile. Smile more, baby. Smile more.
So then we hear this first nightmare explained from Aurora. It's a red room that has these red drapes or
blood red
curtains.
No windows, no fire, no doors.
It actually sounds like a joke.
Almost,
one of those, how do you get out of whatever.
Actually, you know what I thought of was, this chamber has no windows and no doors, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out.
So then said that someone,
for our Disney friends in the Haunted Mansion.
They're just laughing. They're going, yes. And but there's someone looking from the other
corner. Yeah, from the other side of the room, because they were saying that they felt like they were in the corner. She said she was in the corner looking out, and there was someone on the other side, and all she saw was his eyes glowed.
Okay.
So she saw a he. So now I'm really interested to know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, but Red, doesn't have anything to do with Ruby, Red, anything, or was that just kind of a...
Whatever. Well, here's the thing. Look, let's face facts. Red is actually a powerful color.
Sure.
It's a passionate color. It is a fierce and war-like color. There are many, many... It's a very intense color.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotions that go with red.
Mm-hmm.
And some are really good emotions and some are really bad.
Yep.
So it's just, I mean, red's a power color.
Yes. And the most great brands use it in their logo to definitely stand out.
Right.
And so.
Because it does. Red stands out.
And so when I saw Jack on the floor as a skeleton next to the sword, I went, is that really Jack?
Well, and then,
was that kind of a trick or something?
Nah.
I was on edge this whole episode. I'm going, wait a minute. You're not going to get me. You're not going to trick me. I'm all over this. And so
edge. I got to ask, why would the giant have the skeleton in there and not get rid of it? And especially if the sword was,
I'm just being honest.
Potentially lethal. I'm just asking.
Because, maybe Jack could have been hiding up on one of those things and no one expected him to be there. And then he was there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
but I think we have our answer now. We won't see Jack and the Beanstalk, at least not
right
in the future. If they ever show any past, that might happen. But I loved Jorge as the giant.
Now, okay, I need to talk about this for a second.
Okay, please do.
Now, we are Lost fans.
Yes, we are.
Now, we are not up on every twist and turn because it's been a little while, but we are Lost fans. And so hearing Jorge being Jorge, or more in particular, Hurley,
yeah,
as the giant, was a fun moment.
Yeah.
I have already got one email about, you know, basically, really? That was a giant? They just with that voice and everything. So I know that certain people are not going to share our little kind of fun little Lost moment, like, hee hee, it's Jorge being Jorge as the giant. So I understand.
Well, and let's face facts. Let's face the facts. Let's come back to what exactly did he point out. He convinced Emma that, you know, maybe they weren't so bad after all.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's face facts, is that, you know, it's kind of like if you've ever seen Wicked, you know, the Wizard of Oz, the story we all know, was told from, you know, Dorothy's point of view, but then you see it from the witch's point of view, and it takes on a whole new meaning.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So I'm just saying they pulled a Wicked on us and showed us they flipped the giant on its ear.
Right, but I'm just saying, I understand mm-hmm. that if you were watching this and you say, that doesn't sound like a giant at all, and I understand that.
Well, how many giants have you met?
But I'm just let me let me say this, you know. So, because there's a number of people that have never seen Lost and have never seen Alcatraz and have never seen whatever the other shows Jorge has been in. So this was kind of a shock because, anyway.
Right. But again, I'm not talking about the Jorge part. I'm talking about the giant part.
Right.
Okay. How many giants have you met? How do you know what they sound like? We have an assumption. We don't know.
They sound tall.
Kind of like dinosaurs. Nobody knows what they really sound like.
Yeah. No, there's a movie with Jeff Goldblum in. Oh, okay. Sorry. But anyway, it was a fun moment to see that, and I understand if some people just, yeah. But mm-hmm. it was fun. Welcome back, Jorge.
Yes.
And he didn't say dude. I don't think I heard him say dude.
No, because that's not giant. That's not giant-like.
Right.
That doesn't fit. If he was like just a regular guy in the town, then he would have said dude, I'm sure.
But then, the greatest moment of this episode happened. I saw my man, Ian Bailey. So,
you know, so that was freaking awesome. That was, and the funny thing is, I saw his name in the opening credits. I'm all, yay, we're going to see August. And it did not dawn on me that's who that was until he revealed himself. I'm like, yes, that was awesome. That was awesome.
You know, when you miss somebody and you don't know how much you miss somebody, I missed him. You know, and he was just as magical as I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, the whole thing with the box, they should have done that season one, but that's okay. The whole Quentin Tarantino opening it up and you don't know what it is and it's just some magical thing that could be anything. I think that what's in that box is whatever you believe it is or something like that. And I think it is compared to his leg. For instance, when Emma did not believe in the curse or her role in it, she saw a human leg. When she did believe, she did see the wooden leg of him becoming a puppet.
Well, she saw him turning into...
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it has something to do with that. And wherever you are in your belief or whatever, that's what you see in that box.
Huh.
And I certainly am interested to see or hear about what he saw in that box, because I am certain that it wasn't a typewriter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not a typewriter either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because that, yeah, well, that wouldn't make him believe anything.
But, you know, and he called himself a guardian angel, and that he'd been following Emma for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Looking for her for 2 years.
And, you know, and when he was having the discussion, you know, again, it was one of those where it's like a tragedy. Help me out here. I'm going to say words that probably are not right. One of the Italian movies that are going, and then all of a sudden some tragic end. And it's like, you really want Emma to be happy. You see her smiling. You see her falling in love. They mm-hmm. are in love. Mm-hmm. And then he says, let's move in together. Let's make this permanent. You know, I love you. And, okay, well, let's do this. Let's go to Tallahassee. And so she gets the watches, and then all of a sudden August comes and basically says, you cannot marry her because she has a destiny.
You can't take her there. You cannot do this.
It was definitely reminiscent of Dreamy and Nova. Mm-hmm. That same thing.
Very much so.
They were on a trajectory for a relationship, mm-hmm. and then somebody says no.
Right.
Love, unfortunately, at this point right now, would ruin everything.
Right.
You are called to a definite different purpose, and it's not this. And it's heartbreaking because at first you think, no, Emma is finally in love. And you know, we kind of discussed this with the last episode. Finally, you know, maybe in the future, you know, Regina's going to find love, you know, and Emma found love, but it wasn't meant to be.
Right.
And August said, you cannot do this. You don't understand, but I'm going to explain it. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to show you what's in my, you know, special box here. She's special. She has a purpose, and it's not to be with you.
Right.
And
you're keeping her from her destiny.
Right. And so, I mean, it was happy and sad because, but anyway.
Yeah, it was.
So then we have the scene where he fenced all the watches and he gave the money to August.
As well as the key to the car.
As things progressed, we saw that she got the key to the car, but no money. But the money may be in the car, or the money may have bought something else. I don't know where that money is.
August took it to Phuket.
Okay. Right.
I believe August stole it and took it to Phuket.
Okay. All right. And that's where it came from.
Because remember, the package came from Phuket.
Oh, that's right. And so,
he said he had been in Phuket.
So he conned Neil out of the money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again.
So that really adds to his...
that's what he said earlier, is that he's done some really bad things. He's made some really bad choices. He's not the man he should have been. And he's made some terrible, terrible choices.
Yeah. Yep.
And now he's trying to write things. We know he's trying to write things, but...
Well, in August, sent Neil the postcard broken.
That's so, him keeping his promise. He's trying to right the wrongs that he did.
But I'm telling you that the writing that we saw was like a little kid, and I kept thinking. Anyway, it was just me.
It was all capital letters. Didn't seem very childlike to me.
Anyway. So. But then we have the giant waking up from the little and that was kind of funny, actually. Emma on top of the that Asian warrior next to the mm-hmm. door, mm-hmm. it seemed a lot like Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark when he was on top of that
the snake pillar.
Yeah, well,
the snake room.
The god in the Well of Souls.
Oh, okay.
And anyways, kind of remind me of that. But as he was, you know, he came back, he woke up from the little poppy powder
the giant did,
bomb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was kind of fun. It was a very Disney-esque kind of, you know, bing, and it had all these little things that were kind of swirling around. It was just very Disney-esque. And so, but when he woke up and he came in and, you know, so they had this kind of battle and different things, and Hook got trapped. Mm-hmm. And then she ran out, grabbed the sword, cut the thing, and then trapped the giant.
Yeah.
And when they had the discussion, I kind of figured that it was going to be the, because he said, well, you know, it wasn't us, it was you, humans are bad, we're good. And then she goes, well, I thought it was the other way around. And then it reminded me of that story about the tiger with the thorn in his paw.
You mean the lion? With the thorn in his paw?
Right. And that's what made him angry, you know. And then the whole, you had the opportunity to pull it out, and then you were friends.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I loved the way Emma kind of dealt with him. Mm-hmm. Said, nope. I want two favors.
Because I could have killed you twice.
Right.
But I didn't, so
she got the compass.
Yes, the compass was favor number one.
Right.
Favor number two, I thought, was going to be, can you just let Hook go? But then I realized, after we saw that she pulled him out from the rubble, that the I thought, okay, well, maybe he moved it. But then when she chained him up and basically said, I can't trust you, I'm sorry, you know, I need a head start. And then when she got to the bottom and was saying that, oh, yeah, I have a friend watching him, that was favor number two.
Right. And I thought that when the giant pulled that brick or rock away from that hole,
mm-hmm.
it looked a little like the hole, the cave in Lost that went to the light, right?
Oh, yeah. So didn't go there with
to me.
Do you want to know where I went with it? Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Looked like a mouse hole to me.
All right. And actually, I thought it was a portal for a second. Because she was talking to him about that bean.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, no, the bean doesn't work. They don't work.
They're all gone.
Right.
There's no more left, and they don't work. And by the way, this one I wear around my neck, it doesn't work. It's a reminder of what the humans did.
Yep, yep. So, okay. So then she got down, or she's climbing down, and then all of a sudden, you know, and then I thought Korra was everybody, and I thought Korra was Mulan, because she started to chop down the beanstalk, and I thought that she was kind of waiting for this moment that was kind of pre-planned before she came down the beanstalk.
Right.
So,
and then Snow just
right
went on the warpath. Don't you hurt my daughter?
Yep. Yep.
It's like, wow.
And then she came down. And she left Hook up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that when she put the handcuff on him, I thought he was going to turn into Korra. I kept waiting.
Honestly, at that point, I really did too. I thought for sure it was going to be Korra, and he was going to get out of that magically and chase her down.
There were so many little telling things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along the way, especially with Hook. So
yeah, yeah.
But then it was kind of funny. The jail guard came in and said, "You've got mail." It's kind of funny. And she opened it up, and it's from Phuket. And here's the key, and all that. And then, oh, by the way, and a baby. Holding the.
You're gonna have a car when you get out, and a baby.
Yep. But they really kind of quickly did the exposition of all that really fast. So
yeah,
it was really tight, and there wasn't a whole lot of explanation, but you did kind of see all the different pieces.
Well, when the cop arrested her with only the one watch on her, that's when she took the fall. And he said, you know, your boyfriend sold her. He sold her out. He did because he wanted her, because August wanted her in jail, because she would be safe there, she'd be taken care of, and he could keep tabs on her is what he was doing, basically. While he went off to Phuket to have fun in Phuket.
I missed August. He's a cool dude, man. He really is. I got to tell you. Anyhow, and then we have Henry's dream that was exactly like Aurora's dream.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so,
except that he said he was in the corner and he looked over and it was she.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting that the only difference between the two was that Aurora said he was looking from the corner and Henry said she.
What if he saw Aurora? And what if Aurora saw him?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Or what if it's, you know, Henry's vision is of Cora coming after him, and Aurora's is somebody we don't know.
Yeah. Anything is possible. So that's pretty much it, and I think we've done a pretty good job with first thoughts of that. And so now it's your turn.
Yes.
You have the snow lovers, charming lovers, hook lovers, evil regal lovers, August lovers, whoever you are, you now have the opportunity to, what did you see? What did you think? What did you feel about the episode? Did you like Jorge? Did you not like Jorge? Was it the way that you wanted the giant to be? What did you think about Emma's love with Neil? You know, were you heartbroken when it didn't work out? You know, all these kind of questions. You know, these are what we put to you guys, because what you all bring to it is just so cool, so great. And that's what makes this this podcast special. So let us know what you think. Send us your emails. Call in with your voicemails. And we've already got some really, really interesting things to talk about. So anyway, thanks so much, guys. A great episode tonight.
Yeah, and it was very, very good. I really enjoyed this episode a lot.
So cool. So cool. So we will talk at you soon. I want to send big love out to everybody. Mm-hmm. And we will talk at you soon, guys.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.